joined. I beg your pardon.
Why don't we do a quick roll call?
Okay, the conference is now recorded.
Okay.
Okay, shall I do the roll call?
Yes.
Ray, we have on the call Ron Andrus, yourself Ray Fassett, and Rolf Knobin.
Okay.
And we have for staff Julie Headland and myself, Glenn DeSaint-Gerie.
Okay. Well, thank you, Glenn. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I sent out a brief agenda yesterday. I've basically went through five items. The first one being there has been some good activity on lists between Ron and I and even others. I think Wolf and Tony both submitted comments last Thursday and Friday with regards to the smaller feedback we received on the kite proposal. So, you know, I have as a first item here, we've got this threshold question here of should we send this document out in its present form? Of course, then I just turned around and made some edits to it. Should we send this document out in its present form to constituencies for broader their membership to comment on in a very narrow way of these three or four questions, not offer their comment, but answer these questions, so to speak. You know, so we have a threshold question of do we want to take that step? Now, in light of that, we also have had some direction from the OSC of, you know, let's get our attention going on the rules of procedure document. Not that this exercise that we've been doing has been, you know, not worthwhile. I personally believe it has been very worthwhile because we've been able to vet out a lot of issues consistent to our charter and our mission. But nonetheless, we are sitting here today and we have a threshold question that I'm looking to see consensus on. Should we send this document out in its present form to constituencies for their member feedback? And I'll just start with that. Well, anybody have any comment?
Yes. Wolf.
Okay, that's Wolf. So I'll put Wolf in the queue. I'm sure, Ron, I'll put you in the queue, right?
Thank you, yep.
Okay.
Well, I have read all your email traffic going on today and yesterday, and first of all, I was asking why it's so difficult, well, to get the kite flying. Let me say this way. I think maybe there is a basic difference in what we would like, in understanding what we would like to achieve. Let me say that way. So, Ron, several times you expressed the view that you might see that only as kite, you know, just asking people yes or no, and for an answer giving yes or no. Are you satisfied with that? Shall we continue or not? This is, you know, for me, it's a little bit, it's harder to do it that way. I'm thinking a little bit different. So it means, for me, if I would like to send something out to the outside world, I would like, let me say, to be as sure as possible that I get an answer yes. That's what my feeling is, you know, and my basic feeling. So that means I would like to be in a position that I don't get only an answer no. So that's my starting point. So, and that may be a difference. And then, and from this point of view, that is the reason why I was every time, okay, asking for some basic input, you know, for that document. But anyway, so that's, you know, my feeling only. So coming to, let me say, to a conclusion, what I get right now from all this discussion about is that, I was thinking whether we could find a kind of compromise in that, and I would have a proposal to that. So we have sent out already this document to some people from the community, which we were thinking they could give us some answer. But that was relatively widespread. Let me say, some board members, some council members, some members from the OSC and so on. So as we have a charter here in the OSC and also in our working team, which relatively clearly says so how to work and how to proceed in cases if we are not if you could not agree in some cases, why shouldn't we follow that? And that means we did not yet officially ask the OSC as a whole, not only the OSC chair, but the OSC as a whole, what to do with this document. My proposal would be, you know, why shouldn't we ask the OSC officially? And in addition, well, in the letter which you sent to the OSC, also include our wish that it should be discussed within the constituencies, and but we leave it open to the peer, to the members of the OSC to how to inform their constituency members. As I remember, most of the OSC members are people from the different constituencies, and they are also leaders of constituencies in the OSC. So that's my proposal to that, and I would like to discuss that with you.
Let me see if I understand it, Wolf. Take the document in its present form.
Yes.
Whether we want to put my edits in there most recently or take those out, I can go either way on that. Doesn't matter. And as a step, we send it to the OSC in an official capacity, and we ask them a question of, do you feel this document should be sent out to the constituencies for member input? Do you feel we should take that step? Is that the idea?
No, it's not that idea. Not exactly that, but you know the way is the same. You know, we should send it out officially to the OSC, but not only asking, should we send it out to the constituencies? We should ask the OSC for their advice, official advice, and in addition, ask the OSC also discuss that within their in their capacity as constituencies, members or leaders. To discuss that within the constituency, to get a feedback on an OSC meeting in Sydney, which should be take place in Sydney. That's my proposal.
Okay, I'm just trying to get my hands around exactly what we're asking the OSC. Are we asking for their input onto the substance of the report? Is that what we're asking for?
Yes, we are asking the same questions. We should ask the same questions as we asked to the others. You know, the questions which we put together in the document.
Okay.
Those questions, but also not only the OSC members, but tell them in the accompanying letter, let me say, or introducing letter. Please, it's up to you. It would be nice if you could get an input also from your constituency.
I see.
So that's the way.
I see.
So, but the deadline should be then for Sydney, because I have seen in Sydney, and Chuck also has written to me, there is not yet planned an OSC meeting, but he was open to hold an OSC meeting in case there's some substantive issue or item to discuss, and I think that is one.
So they're not planning an OSC meeting in Sydney?
That's outrageous. That's outrageous.
Interesting.
It's a face-to-face meeting. Everyone is there. And the fact that they wouldn't sit down and have a review from the chairs of all of this and activities to get a sense of what's going on is mind-boggling. But maybe Chuck's just busy and hasn't...
No, that's what I... You know, I had some email contact with Chuck, and he wrote me again. Not yet. It was 1 week ago. He didn't have in mind an official OSC meeting. But in case there is some substance about it, so, and I think there is something...
Okay, Ron, let's move to where you're at here. Let's be candid. Where are you at?
Where I'm at, Chairman, is simply this. We're three people on the phone right now.
Yeah, I know.
It's ludicrous. So my point has been from day one, when I took the time to draft the document, which we called a kite, which I fleshed out in some detail for all of our work team to review, mm-hmm. only for that purpose, just to review.
Let me have it. Go ahead.
To send out to the community,
right.
Not to the reps. The reps are busy doing what they're doing. Let's send it to the community. Let them say yes, this is a brilliant idea, or no, you guys are idiots. That's what it's for. Nothing more, nothing less. And it's not about suggesting that we're looking for a yes. We're a work team. Our job is to define the issue, bring clarity to the elements around the issue, and invite the community to say yes or no to our thinking. When they say yes, this is a brilliant way to go. Our high-level principle says, we suggest to the GNSO Policy Council that they establish two bodies within the House of GNSO, and here's a recommendation of a way forward, take it or leave it, in very simple terms. They can come back and look at our work product. It's all there on the wiki.
Right. And
they can determine whether any of these ideas that we were suggesting as examples of work are right or wrong.
But
at the end of the day...
Yeah, but you said something. I think that's... I want to catch it while you said it, because I'm not trying to cut you off, but there's definitely a disconnect here. You're saying the high-level principle is to create two groups within the GNSO.
Or not. Or not.
We
don't know that, and we're not looking for a yes. We're not looking for a no. What we're looking for is we don't have a vested interest here. Our job is to identify.
Ron, that's different than what I understood the high-level principle to be, which was about separation of duties. Those are not into the same things.
Okay. Ray, my goodness.
So I'm sorry.
I'm getting very frustrated with you guys, and I think maybe I should just bow out for a while and let you guys sort out what you think it is and determine it, because it's getting extremely frustrating.
Well,
the point is simply this, and if I can finish my statement, I'll finish it, and then I will not say another word on this topic, because I can't be party to this. Listen, all I'm suggesting is we are too few people. We have not enough voices here to make any of these determinations whatsoever. But for some reason, my colleagues on this work team are reluctant to ask the community if this idea makes sense to them. I don't care if you guys want to go and select a panel of 500 ICANN community representatives and send it to them with a checkbox, yes or no, I don't care how we do it, but we cannot... at all begin to address operating principles of the generic name supporting organization unless we get guidance here, because there's three of us talking every call about the same things. It's ludicrous, boys. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a chief executive officer, and my job is to drive business forward every day. My job is not to go back and forth over the same things and split hairs. The only reason there's so much detail in this document is for people to understand what we're talking about. What does it mean when you separate responsibilities? Well, this group would do that, and this group would do this. Policy people are policy counselors. And that's why we name them that. And we name the other group administration representatives. They're not policy people. They don't sit on council. They have nothing to do with council. We've talked about this on every call since the document was written. So, Chair, my point is this. Going now to the GNS, going to the operating, OSC, and submitting it to them with a request that they may or may not want to submit it to the larger group is fruitless. The OSC, our job, let's just put everything in perspective. Our job was to work on a list of issues and bring them into some rules of procedure, and this is what we've been attacking. We've been attacking two big parts. This part we're attacking here is structure, and we have to get some sense from community if they agree or disagree, instead of you disagreeing with me and me disagreeing with you. It's fruitless what we're doing right now.
I'm not doing that.
I'm going to finish,
really,
Chair, please. I'm going to finish, if I may. So when we take this and now start giving it to OSC for an OSC meeting, we're giving it to exactly the same people that are currently on the GNSO Council, who may or may not believe this is good, right or wrong. And they have a vested interest, perhaps. I'm saying, take the kite to the community, get a sense from community, do they like this direction? If they like the direction, then we'll write a high-level principle saying it's going to be two bodies, one administrative, one policy. If they don't like it, we're going to submit a recommendation that says we're going to go with one policy council, and this is what they're going to do. That's the point, boys. It has nothing to do with us. Our job is to create an idea and put it forward to the community. And if you do not want to, that's fine. But I'm telling you, for my part, I cannot continue to be on these one-hour calls from all, different parts of the world where I am in, to go through the same thing again and again. If you read the document, the five-page document, it's very clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ron, is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
I hear you that you say it's very clear, and my point is not to revisit, you know, things that you feel have been accomplished or already discussed, but there are other comments coming in, and my role
Ray,
as chair
listen,
is
listen, you're
to,
the chairman of two people, about three of us.
No,
do you
no,
think any of the three
more,
of us have a voice
yeah, but Ron,
that can make
is
sense
it my
here?
Turn? Is it my turn?
Okay. I beg your pardon.
Okay. Just last Thursday, comments came in from Tony. We did. First of all, I accept as a, let me just explain my role here. First of all, I accepted your document in as a substantive document, you know, as the chair of this group. From there, we talked about the document. We made improvements to the document, not just your efforts, but other people's efforts. And we included, you know, we included an organizational chart because we weren't clear. We didn't understand the structure of what the text was explaining. From there, we did another request to the work team. We sent it out to a small group of people to get their feedback. Their feedback came back, and
best it was vague, and we never saw anything in writing. So I'm not sure what it was. I mean, I
Wait
saw your summary, but I'm saying
I'm
this
done.
Is the thing we lack.
Okay, I'm hearing you. I'm not done. I'm just talking about the steps. While you may
oh,
say
Ray,
we,
come on, we know the steps.
Tom,
fine. I agree that. Well, I'll grant you that we've been making progress.
Okay, Ron, is it right? It's not that we're just wasting time here to rehash the same old issues. We are actually progressing through people being able to offer their input and discussion, and we're, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay, so I think we have done that in a progressive way, understanding people have other things on their plate and are getting to it as they can. But we've done.
Chair, if I may just speak to that point.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
That point is this. People get to it when they can. They forget the substance of what we're doing and the particular position within which we are.
But that's my
job. Our
job
as a work team is to provide some documentation, a work product to the OSC.
Right.
The OSC is going to chew it all over in regards to all of the other stuff that's coming in, and then they're going to bring it forward for public comment.
Okay, now let me finish. Okay, so these are the steps we've gone through, and I know you're getting frustrated because it appears to you that we're just rehashing what is already clear.
No, not at all. I'm just saying that we're splitting hairs on stuff that has no relevance in the terms of the picture we're trying to achieve.
Right, there's where I'm going. Okay, you're saying what's clear and irrelevant is, to me as a chair, not clear and irrelevant. Let me give you an example. Just a few minutes ago, an email popped. I asked you a question today. Can an administrative volunteer, per the document, be a member of the XCOM? You said, yes. Ken Stubbs interprets this conversation and says, no. Now, this is just, again, one example of the confusion that is going on as pertains to the structure.
Well, it'd be nice if Ken Stubbs sent the same statement to us all, so we're privy to it, and then we have one conversation.
Isn't it in there? I mean, I don't know if he's...
I don't have it. I never saw it.
All right, well, he must have CC'd me. I mean, must have sent reply to me. I mean, yeah, I'll forward this right now. I mean, I'm sure he...
My point is, Ray, we got a handful of people talking about something important, so you make a decision as a chair what you want to do, because from my point of view, I just I don't see that I can bring any more value to this group, and all I have is a distraction on it. So
I'll pull
back. No problem for that.
Okay. No, I'm not asking you to pull back, and I'm certainly not asking you to not contribute. What I am asking you to understand, or at least take some level of appreciation of, is there's more confusion than what you are stating is the case. And I really
Ray,
don't see how
Ray,
that's
there's
going
to be 1,000 questions. Believe me, 1,001. But through all that noise, all we're looking for is a kind of a general sense that this cacophony of noise is louder than that cacophony of noise, to which we will say thank you, and we'll submit a work product to the OSC.
Okay. All right. We have a fundamental difference of opinion. Is I'm not comfortable. Now, I'm speaking as a member of the work team, not the chair. I'm not comfortable sending out a document that is unclear. Now, your fundamental difference, but I'm talking as a work team member, Ron. I'm not talking as the chair, okay? Now, you as a work team member are stating that is not the case. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to what Wolf said earlier. Wolf said when we don't have a consensus position.
And that's what the document says, right at the very top, if you read the opening statement.
But when we
it says we don't have consensus. We're asking opinion because we're too small a group.
Ron, we don't have a consensus position of sending it out, not of what the contents This is where we don't have a consensus position of sending this.
All right, seeing as how there's three of us on the phone, then I would move that we adjourn this discussion until we have a larger group. Next subject, please.
What I am suggesting is going to the charter and the rules of procedure of our charter that Wolf has cited is, I think, a logical approach. When we don't have consensus, we go to the OSC to seek their advice. Is that basically what you stated, Wolf, as a way forward?
Yes, that's what I mean. Well, this is my additional question to Ron would be, what do you think is the community behind that you would like to ask the community? Because several times, from my knowledge, from ICANN, it's every time we're talking about the community, but again and again, these are the same people.
The community of ISPs, the community of the BC, the community of the registries, community of the registrars, they put it on the list. The discussion happens, and then we get feedback from probably their administrator or the representative saying, our general feeling was 60% said no, 40% said yes. Thank you. Thank you. That's what we needed.
But that's what could be done through the OSC. Why not?
No, the OSC is too small a body, too, and it's all what they are the elected reps from the Policy Council, and me. I happen to be an alternate in that group.
Well, we have already asked. We have already sent our request to the chairpersons of the existing constituencies, as I remember very well. So that means Steve Metellus got it.
Right.
The registry, I don't know who's the chair of that, but leading people have got it, you know. So they
it's the same group that you want to send it to, Wolf, and the point here is that we asked them to read the document and give us their response, and it asked two questions, and they didn't give us a response.
No. We asked him in addition, though, so we are of the opinion that, we could be of the opinion, well, it is to be discussed within the constituencies, but we won't like to bypass them.
We're not bypassing them. It's all members of the same community.
No, that's the point.
How can we bypass any of them? But listen, I'll tell you what. If you want to do it that way, that's fine. Let's move on to the next agenda item. I mean, I would first say, the only thing I would say on this regard, though, is that Ray's recent edits, I think, should be removed. I think that they cloud the whole document, and if that's the case, if you want to send this document with the recent edits, then I disagree.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I don't have a problem with that. Wolf, how about yourself?
I don't have a problem, no.
Okay, that's fine by me. Now, I just want to understand exactly what we're asking the OSC. First of all, we're going to articulate to the OSC, one, this is a formal request. Two, there is not a consensus position within our work team to send this document out for broader constituency membership input.
Would you point out that the constituents, there's no consensus amongst the three of us in the call? This is the ridiculousness of this discussion, gentlemen. There's such a small number of us having a conversation.
Yeah,
so we don't have consensus when two of us don't agree.
That's the size
of the group.
Ron, let me just allow me to say, okay? I mean, using terms like ridiculous and things like that, I mean...
I'm sorry, Ray. This is not, you know... I beg your pardon for being so forthright. You asked me to be candid.
Yeah.
I'm saying to you that the three of our voices on this phone do not represent the global internet community and the operation of the body most responsible for making sure policy is developed going forward.
Okay, fair enough. So I'm going to point out to the OSC formally that we're asking we don't have a consensus position of sending the document out to the constituency for a broader membership feedback. I would like to ask their advice on that question as to whether we should take that step. Or two, should we ask is the OSC comfortable sending it out in their capacity to the constituencies for broader membership? And then three, please answer the three questions that are contained in the document for us.
Why don't you just ask them question number two? Dear OSC members, could you please discuss this and based on your discussion, send it on to the broader community if you believe it to be of value?
Okay. All right. Wolf, what's your feeling on that?
Yes, and please also put into the letter that we should have a discussion about that, and if possible, a discussion of a, let me say, with a discussion in Sydney where we expect also to get a responses that the OSC members should bring as far as possible responses from their community, from their constituencies. You know what I mean?
If they answer in the affirmative, yes, we think this is a document worthwhile to send out in our capacity. If they answer that in the affirmative, where our expectation then is to try to obtain, to the best of their ability, feedback by the time of Sydney.
If I recall, Tony Holmes was objecting to that, and I agree with him. What we should be saying is, the OSC, please review this document review now or review it in Sydney, this document, and if you agree, please distribute it to the broader community for their input. Or allow us to distribute it to the, you know, and then raise the document to the heads of all the current constituencies and says, here's a document. Please poll your community to determine whether or not they want to go with this way or that way, and advise us in the coming 10 days. Thank you.
Okay.
And I agree with Ron. This is Ken. I'm sorry I was quiet, but
that's okay.
I think that's the best approach to take. Get it out.
Very good, very good. So get it out to the OSC and ask if they for them to
give approval to the chair to send it to the constituencies.
Very good. If they feel they want to do that, right? Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's move on to the next one. Thank you, Ron, and everybody for that. Next agenda item is. So excuse me here for a minute.
Procedure.
The rules of procedure. Basically, the section 3.5 and 3.6, quorum and votes respectively. And under this subject, I basically just have general discussion and, if possible, identify action items. Now, with this said, there has been some question within our work team members as to the work we're performing on the rules of procedure and how that relates to other, you know, work teams and potential overlap or work being done on bylaws, and how does that overlap our work. I'm wondering if Julie, if you want to give any kind of background, I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there anything you want to contribute on that point?
Yeah, this is Julie. Ray, I'd be happy to do so. What happened was that I had gotten together with Rob Hogarth and Ken Bauer and given them some suggestions after spending quite some time looking at the rules and procedures and looking at what was happening with the bylaws as well, and suggested, asked for their input and suggestions of how, you know, this team could begin and what would be the crucial sections to address. And Ken, in particular, is very much involved in the bylaw process, working with the GNSO Council's restructuring team, and also has spent a good deal of time looking through the rules of procedures. And he suggested that we start with the quorum and votes, sections 3.5 and 3.6, and Rob concurred in section 3 of the current rules of procedure. And there's two reasons for this. First of all, these two sections are not impacted by changes in the bylaws, nor are they impacted by the work of any other work team, but they would be crucial for the new council to be able to begin their work, because, you know, it's quite possible that there would be decisions that they would need to make that would come down to a vote in that first meeting, and so that would need to be addressed. And then I've identified other areas within the rules of procedures that we can address as well. I had gone through the whole table of contents and made some suggestions as far as where the bylaws intersect and the works of other teams, and I had sent that to Rob. He hasn't had a chance to get back to me, but I think I can go ahead and send that to the team. It just takes the table of contents from the rules of procedures and indicates which are under consideration in the bylaws. And the only other team that impacts this work, the work of the team that impacts this work, is the PDP work group. There are a number of sections in the rules of procedure that deal directly with the policy development process, and all of those are on hold until they're addressed by the policy development process work team. So we don't need to address at this time.
Okay. So thank you, Julie. So if I understand it, you know, we've got clear and concise direction from the OSC to be focusing our attention on the rules of procedure, but it is not entirely clear, as some of our work team members have pointed out, where in the rules of procedure we should be focusing on. I know it's difficult for us in a vacuum to identify exactly where those places are, so we have to push it back now to, and we ask you in your support role to talk to others within ICANN staff and et cetera to identify where those areas are for us. And this is the process that we're taking to attack this document. Is that fair enough analysis?
Well, I'd like to add to that, Chair, when you get
yes,
that.
Yes, please, Ron, go ahead.
Julie, I think you mentioned that you had created a draft, that what I'll call a chart that delineates who is working on what and where the overlaps are. That's correct?
Right. Actually, it's just the table of contents from the rules of procedure, and after each, I've indicated whether or not it looks like it's an area that's going to be addressed in the bylaws, and I have to tell you that that's a moving target right now.
Still
a few issues there. So it would be sort of my best current guess, which is why I was running it by Rob first to get...
Very good. So what I'm getting at is simply that document will give us sort of some direction, wherein which we may want to, as a committee, and I make a recommendation to the chairman, that we may, as a work team, want to perhaps get on a joint call or even in Sydney sit down and jointly discuss certain items, if in fact those items are on two tables at one time, so that at least we can be working in tandem, not working in singularity and operating in two different directions potentially. So that's point one.
Real quickly, Ron, I agree with that. And in fact, I know that the restructuring team is having a meeting, which I'm sure anybody can attend, and I think that's on Saturday, to go over additional questions about the bylaws changes. I think it's very important for the team to be aware of what's happening there. I agree there. I will check with Ken, who is the staff support for the PDP work group. I'm not sure what, I'll check.
No, that's understood. That part's understood. That's a gray area. No, I wasn't going there. I was just going to the place where we know what is happening. And if things are gray, then we just mark them gray and say we don't know about that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. So that was the first point. So that would give us at least some direction, Chair, as to where we stand, so we're no longer in a vacuum. And then the second recommendation I would make is that we might want to take these ones, as much as they've been presented as things we can consider right now, look at the rest of the work items that we might have on our list, which I have not done, because these two elements, quorum and let me bring that screen up, quorum and votes, what I was thinking there is that quorum, I have no idea what that means. It kind of means everybody who shows up. I maybe get some clarity from Julie on that, what quorum means in this language. And then on voting, if she could, perhaps staff could rewrite those paragraphs using the new terms that will be used. So constituency, so we are no longer constituencies, but we now become the commercial stakeholder group, etc. So the stakeholder groups, if we had that language rewritten with the language that we will be using, that would at least give us a start on that. But quorum, I'm not quite sure what that is.
Wolf, may I talk?
Please, Wolf, go ahead.
I was also, I would agree to Ron, so is it because quorum was not very clear to me. What does it mean in this context here, what is behind all that? The other one, with regards to other items, including voting, there has been done a lot of work already in preparing the council new structuring. So that's what Julie was mentioning, and there's still the structuring group is working on the bylaw amendments and changings. So there are some documents available. And regarding the voting, so I was asking myself, so, what didn't we do the work already with, let me say, the council structuring work? There was a document maybe already 1 year ago, and when the proposal was put on the table for the two houses approach, and this proposal included also the voting of the two houses, the voting scheme, voting thresholds. And is that still valid? I think it's valid because the board approved that.
That's certainly worth a good long look, absolutely.
And this is it is written something of specific points about the PDP process, the voting thresholds regarding that. And it is written all other GNSO business, business simply majority of both voting houses needed. So that's all. It is all included in that document. Is there anything else? That's my question with regards to voting.
Ray, may I address that question?
No, I'm just kidding, Julie. Go ahead.
and Wolf over here, absolutely right. There was previous work done with respect to voting thresholds. Voting thresholds, and particularly relating to policy, is dealt with in another section of the procedures. And also, there is some discussion within the restructuring team as to which voting thresholds will be in the bylaws and which will not. And as far as I saw from the most recent traffic, I think that's still a moving target. So this voting, the section here is sort of the non-policy voting process. It's a simpler process. And it's a little bit difficult because voting is dealt with in a couple of different places within the procedures. Now I just want to also address the question about the quorum. The question about quorum is just really for, you know, what is considered a quorum, in the context of voting when the council votes. And I have some language that was proposed in an early report on the GNSO improvements process that we can use as a start for that to perhaps give us a little bit more direction. And I agree with Ron that I think I would be more than happy to adjust the language so it reflects the stakeholder group structure, as opposed to the term constituencies.
Excellent. That's very good news.
Well, Julie, well, it was, again, so just a question. So did I understand correctly? So that, the policy-related voting, well, it's a different issue. That's what we have to talk about and to discuss right now. But what should that be, the different others? So for example, in that, the other proposal I mentioned, it's already covered because it's just all other business, GNSO business, is done through a simple majority of both voting houses. So my question is really, well, I would like to understand, so what should be behind of that paragraph?
Right. I don't have that language that you referred to in front of me, so I'll have to compare it with what is in this paragraph. And
the paragraph is referring to some extent to the PDP itself, and then there is a paragraph all other GNSO business, and there is a different paragraph for board elections. So this is also covered regarding the kind of majorities within the different houses. But if you refer, when you refer to the PDP and all other things, so I wonder what is different besides the PDP. Okay, there are other things to be dealt with, but is it covered by all other GNSO business, or is there something else? So I don't have something anything in mind.
I see. So I think I understand. So the PDP voting procedure and thresholds is in the PDP section of the GNSO Council. The all other business voting procedure, I think, is what is referenced in this section here. That is this, by this I mean the 3.6 section titled vote. And I think that my understanding is that we need to, you know, for all other business, you know, right now we're talking about the number of votes that council members may cast equalized, so aggregate number of votes of representatives. And then we have to change that to stakeholder groups. It's not constituencies. Right. So, but that is sort of that's the voting process for all other business. So, any a resolution, that sort of thing. You know, making sure that there is appropriate representation when a vote is taken, et cetera. And it may be. And I should mention this when we look at these sections. It may be that in some cases, and perhaps in many cases, for some of the simplest things, like dealing with mailing lists and other things, we may just have to change the language to reflect the new structure, the new bicameral structure, taking out the words constituency, replacing them with stakeholder groups. And we may find otherwise that this is a perfectly acceptable procedure. We shouldn't feel as a work team that we have to change something if it seems like it's a process that's been working unless we think it can be improved.
Julie, you just identified exactly what I said. That's why I would like you to do that document change or that term change, nomenclature change within the document. This is Ron. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think that also is very useful, and I completely agree with Ron on that. We need a starting point, and it seems to me the starting point is to fix the terminology to at least reflect. I mean, this is something we can do, or if I'm understanding, we feel would be beneficial if we updated the document to reflect the proper terminology. We may then read that particular part and see there's nothing further for us to do with that particular section. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's correct. I'm sure we'll have to do some adjustment on quorum, though, because as it reads right now, it doesn't read anything. So, but that's exactly the right point. Julie articulated it very well.
Yeah. So we need that, I think, as a work team. We need that as a starting point. Now, are we talking the entire rules of procedure document, or are we talking those sections that Rob and Julie and who else are going to identify for us are within our purview?
More the latter than the former, in my view, but it probably wouldn't hurt to do the whole document. It's only, I think it's eight, I'm not sure the length of it, but it's something, 8 pages, maybe wrong. I don't have it in front of me, but anyway, I think that for our purposes, certainly things we need, but it wouldn't hurt to do the whole document just as we read it, it'd be more clear.
Okay, now, how a suggestion of getting us to that point as a work team, having that document in front of us, I would suggest that we're going to have to draw on staff resources to accomplish this part. Does anybody disagree?
Ray, may I get in queue?
Yeah, Julie, there you go. Since you're directly affected.
Staff resources is my key. My cue, I think. What I would propose, if it's acceptable to the team, is that I can go ahead and update terminology in these two sections, and in fact, I can update it for. I'll do it for the entire section three, and also indicate in section three those items that are dependent on the bylaws as the discussion currently stands in the restructuring team, and also I will insert the recommended language that was in a previous GNSO improvement report with respect to quorum, and that could be a starting point. And I certainly can go through and update the language throughout the rules of procedures in general and send them to you. I think I might break them up into sections since it's fairly lengthy, and I think we'll probably deal with them, in chunks that way as well. And also indicate which sections are dependent on the bylaws and which are dependent on the PDP work group. There are a very large number of sections that are dependent on the PDP work group that we will not be able to deal with at all for quite some time. So that, you know, I can send you those sections. I can do that before, get them out in time so that you can have them to review before Sydney if you like, and we could use that as a starting point.
Okay, that is exactly where I was heading. I absolutely believe we will need those for the face-to-face meeting in Sydney. And I would suggest as an agenda item in Sydney, a real takeaway is to identify those sections where possible that really we don't need to spend a lot of work on. In other words, the language has been updated, and it's sort of a process of elimination approach too, where these sections we don't need to spend time on, but here are the sections where we do. And I think that's kind of what I'm hearing from work team members is we really, it's great that we were able to identify today 3.5 and 3.6, but geez, where does this all fit in the whole bigger scheme of things? So as an action plan, yes, if we could get the entire document, all sections, at least those that are considered by Rob or others within the purview of our work team. You know, we've been asked direct, we've been instructed by the OSC to work on the rules of procedure as a direct mandate. Okay, we're willing to do that. Now, what are those sections that we need to spend our time on? First, so we need a starting point. Provide to us those sections updated, if possible, we'll ask for staff resources, update with the proper terminology. And when we have our face-to-face meeting in Sydney, let's be able to hit the ground running and discuss which of these sections we don't need to spend a lot of time on, if any, because the terminology has been updated. And then, okay, now which ones do we have to spend a lot of time on? So there's my approach. Does anybody have any comment or discussion on that?
Okay. Agreed.
Okay. Now, Julie, within, you know, your world, where you live, is the timeline that we have feasible for you to get that to us? You know, actually, we'll need, I don't know, do we want to do it as handouts at the Sydney meeting and then
Chair, just I would suggest if Julie could get it done in the next week or so, then we all have it, we can give some consideration prior to our arrival at the meeting on Saturday.
Okay, so prior to arrival, now I throw back to Julie, is that feasible within your workload?
Yeah, it is, right. And in fact, I will, I'll try to get this done as soon as possible. It just so you know, I will also run it by Rob and Bauer
sure,
just to make sure that I'm, you know, just so that they can kind of check my work. And because Ken in particular has been so involved in the bylaws process, I want to make sure I and also the PDP process, so I want to make sure I reflect that correctly. But I am that I can get it done before Sydney. And in fact, I leave next Wednesday afternoon, and so I would definitely want to send this before I leave because I don't arrive until Friday, and that would be a little bit late, I think.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good course of action for us to take here and toward the mandate that we've been given to work on this document. I want to stress, too, that by the time of Sydney, and I think you're going to need Ken and Rob's, cooperation, we have to know which of those areas of the rules of procedure that are the bylaws or the moving targets, et cetera. We really have to have those identified. So if you can stress that to Rob and Ken. We're more than happy to work on the areas that we can and that are efficient and that will not result in overlap from other work teams. We're more than happy to do that. But we have to be told which ones those are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, and Ray, I might add that those things that are under discussion right now as possibly being in the bylaws, we should have a resolution on that probably, I would hope, by Sydney and possibly even sooner, although, no, actually, I take that back because there's no restructuring team call next Monday, so I think the next discussion will be in Sydney. And I will send you the information on that meeting because I will certainly be attending it and others if you are, there on Saturday, other work team members are welcome to attend as well.
Okay, can you again, identify what that meeting is?
Yeah, it's the GNSO restructuring team meeting. This is the group of GNSO council members that are working on the looking at the bylaws and the changes that need to be made in the bylaws to reflect the GNSO improvements process and the bicameral structure. That's been going on for several weeks now, and I would say that they are nearly complete. There are a few remaining questions that they're trying to finalize, and I think they're going to try to see if they can do that in Sydney, although I won't be, you know, I can't be held to that. That's just an impression of mine. I can't.
We won't hold you to it. Okay, is there any other comments or discussion on this topic? All right, I think we have a plan of action. And the reason I wanted to stress that was because really on our very first call, we started to talk about the rules procedure, and I believe Rob was on that call. And this entire issue that we're talking about now, about moving targets, was why we, were actually suggested not to necessarily dive into this document right away. So I just want to stress now, okay, we've been given a mandate, and I want to make sure that we can also be provided clear. We want our work to be productive. It might be only three of us or four of us, but, we want to make sure that we're productive in these meetings. And I definitely want to be productive as part of the Sydney meeting. I'm sure we all do. So, but even though we're a small team, I think we have, a lot of talent here that is extremely worthwhile. So, anyway, with that said, I want to move on to the next item.
SOIDUI.
Thank you. SOIDUI. Any comments on that?
No.
Well, I guess we got to kick this around a little bit. Wolf provided some comments, and I responded to those comments because there were some questions that I felt I could respond to. I've submitted my comments, and Wolf submitted his, and I think that document looks pretty close to being ready to circulate. Mm-hmm. I think there were some good catches in there, and I appreciate that close read, particularly where we note we actually use the wrong term. We talk about a declaration of interest, which we have not, and it was obviously we changed this to disclosure of interest.
Disclosure, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I think, from my view, with those most recent changes, this is ready to go.
I think we should send it.
Now, send it. When we talk about send it, who are we sending it to?
Well, no, I don't think you mean send it to anybody. Just this is a work product that we've got done, and
okay,
it's ready to be
good
submitted at the appropriate time.
Okay, great. I agree. Now, that was why
that's
I put
what
it.
I meant.
In.
I just meant okay. We don't need
it. It's okay. I'm with you, Ken.
With it. That's all.
All right. Let me make sure we're on the same page.
I've been on calls for 4 hours, so I'm getting a little dingy. You'll have to excuse me.
Yeah, wasn't there an IRT call now, Ken?
Yes, there's an IRT call going on.
There's an IRT, okay. So you chose this one over that one. Thank you.
No, I have this phone in my left here and the IRT call in my right.
All right. Very good.
But I have to leave on the hour, so.
Okay, we got a few minutes here. Now, when I hear send it, maybe I'm thinking, how do we send it into the rules of procedure? Because I think in the rules of procedure, there's not any mention at all of declarations of interest or statements of interest or conflicts of interest, nothing. Do we feel that this is something that should be added to the rules of procedure?
In my view, yes, Chair, and I would suggest that we just park it in terms of where it belongs till we actually work through all of the other elements, and then we can reconstruct the document for submission to the OSC.
And if we want to, we could always ask somebody like Dan Halloran to take a look at it to make sure he's comfortable with the way it's worded now. So if there's any crafting that needs to be done, let's get it out of the way so we have a completed document.
Good point, Ken.
Okay.
Ray, this is Julie. Can I ask a question?
Yes, please, Julie.
If this is a recommendation for the Statement of Interest, Declaration of Interest policy, I think by our charter, doesn't this need to go to the OSC as a recommendation from the committee?
Well, let me throw this question back at you then. When we complete the rules of procedure, if we collapse this into the rules of procedure, isn't that the document we're sending to the OSC?
That's correct, but what I'm saying is I don't know that we have to wait with this until we've completed all the changes to the rules and procedure. I'm guessing that we could send this now to the OSC as a deliverable, and because they could consider it, you know, recognizing our recommendation would be in sending it to them that, you know, that it would be part of the rules of procedure. But if they have changes they want us to make, then, you know, we can, you know, work on those, you know, along with the other things that we're doing. The only reason I'm mentioning that is because, you know, since the OSC is looking for, you know, items that the work teams have completed, this is something we could say, hey, we have agreed on a recommendation and we're sending it to you, recognizing that it will be folded into the rules of procedures.
I support that.
Uh-huh. Okay. How about, do we want to get input from Dan Halloran before we send it off to the OSC as what we consider a finished product?
Well, I think as a matter of course that would be a wise move. I think that Julie and Rob have done, you know, good work with us on this thing, but he's you know, the next second in line or whatever in council. Give it to him, let him scan it. I'm happy. Then we send it on. I think that's a very good approach.
Okay, then let's do that, Julie. I'll need a final version. Can you do that, accepting all changes or however? Can you do that?
In fact, I'll do that right after this call. And I, yeah, so, and then if you want to, then just go ahead and send it on to Dan Haller and letting him know that this is something we've worked on. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and procedurally, I'm going to make one little adjustment, too, to a point I sort of interpreted from Ron, which I thought was a very good point. When I send it off to Dan, I'm going to CC the our list, so that way you guys know what I'm saying. Or okay.
It's helpful. It's helpful,
yeah.
Right?
And then when we understand
the context.
Yeah, and then when Dan replies, it'll all be in there. And then if we send it off to the OSC, I'll make sure that email is CCing the list. So I thought that was a very helpful comment you made, Ron. I just wanted to appreciate that. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's our plan of action. Very good job, everybody. I appreciate it. So, you know, the next item on the agenda I have, and I know Ken's got to go, is Sydney face-to-face meeting. I want to explain, too. I want to understand, the OSC people are not going to attend our meetings. You know, and that might seem strange. Why wouldn't the OSC attend our meetings, especially in face-to-face? Well, they're being very strict to a code of approach or ethic, maybe, that they don't want to be seen as influencing our work as we're going through our work. In other words, there's always been this issue within the GNSO Council that, you know, the council members are the ones doing the work, they're the ones on the work groups, they're, you know, it's the same people all over the place. So this is a little bit my own interpretation, but I think I'm gaining an appreciation that the members of the OSC do not want to be reaching down and actively being in our groups. So right now, I don't think there's a plan for formal attendance by the OSC into our work team meeting in Sydney. So I wanted to let the team know that.
Well, I'm sorry to put the kibosh on that, Ray. I actually am an OSC member, but as an alternate for the BC.
Yeah.
So, but in any case, I think the point you made is well taken. It, rather than having five or six members sort of sitting in, kind of watching what we're doing and feeling like Big Brother's looking over your shoulder, I think the approach is exactly right, and I think that, you know, I appreciate and understand that I'm participating in both this work team and the OSC, just be sharing the load within the BC.
Very good. So I'm not going to reach out to the OSC and invite them to our meeting. Now, obviously, it's an open meeting, I believe. So anybody can attend, they may. But
yeah.
I wanted to ask the team if that was an appropriate approach. I'm not going to reach out to them and say, you know, can you please attend our meeting and provide us input and advice. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Ray, may I just comment on
that? Yes.
Okay, first, I'm also a member of the OSC, so
yes.
there could be some participation in the meeting. But I'm afraid, personally, I cannot participate this time in Sydney. Not personally in Sydney, but what I would like to do, if possible, is remotely participating. If that is convenient to both parties, and from with regards to the time difference. So I was reading, so you plan to have a meeting at 2:00 in the afternoon. That means it's 6:00 in the morning here, which is not bad because it's summertime. So it's That would meet my requirements as well. So I could participate if you start really from 2 o'clock that time. So that's my point for that. And okay.
Okay. Well, let's jump right into that then. Ron put forward a request to speak if we can extend the time of the meeting from 1 hour to 2 hours, the length of the meeting, I should say. It appears our scheduled time now is 1400 UTC. Yes, yeah, so that's 2 o'clock local time.
Oh, is it?
Local time.
Yes.
1400 local time.
Yes.
Oh, 1400 local time.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. So that would be 2 o'clock local time.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
2 p.m.
Right. So we could move the meeting up to as early as 12:30, it appears to me, which may be cutting into lunch hour. So if we wanted to say 1 o'clock, we could go 1 to 3, right? Yeah.
And this is just a recommendation. In terms of if we really want to sink our teeth into getting some work done, mm-hmm. Having everybody around the table, we might be able to knock a large block off or chip off the block, so to speak. So that was my recommendation. But if it doesn't fit others' calendars and you feel that an hour is enough, then I'm fine to agree with that, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who's that?
That means if you plan to start it at 1 o'clock, is that correct?
Well, that's what we're talking about, whether we want to start at 1 and go from 1 to 3 or start at 2 with a hard end at 3. Either way, it's a hard end at 3.
Well, okay, 1 o'clock is maybe I will join later, depending on what, because it's weekend, so and then 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would like to look how to cover that. But, I know, 1 to 3. So if Glenn could let me know the access code and those things, so it would be nice.
Yes.
I'll do that, Wolf. I'm busy doing that right this moment.
Okay.
Actually, Glenn, as we have you on the phone, Chair, with your permission, could we ask, could we be sending a message from the work team that we would like the OSC to convene a meeting, particularly with regard to discussion item 1 on the agenda today and perhaps any other items they have, and perhaps the various work teams could give a report at that meeting as to how much ground they've covered. They've covered, these are the 10 tasks, and 4 of them have been covered. The next 3 should be done in this time period, and finally then. At least that would give the operating steering committee some sense of just how things are progressing as opposed to picking it up in the hallways and a few people, but the rest of the committee not knowing what's going on.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's an interesting question. For us to reach out to the OSC to hold a meeting in Sydney to give all work teams an update on their progress.
So that each chair or whatever members of the other teams can sit in and get a sense of where the whole thing stands right now. It would be interesting to find out how others are progressing through their chore, their task list,
yeah.
As well as how we're progressing in, with ours.
Okay. Okay, I'm hearing Wolf. I think he's saying yes, so I think that sounds like a good idea to him.
That's what I was asking Chuck by email as well, so then I was really surprised that he didn't say anything.
Yeah, I can put that request forth to Chuck, who's the chair, and I guess would that be the way to do it, or should we ask Glenn to put that?
I think that's the way you should do it, Ray.
Okay. Okay.
The schedule is very full. You've probably seen the one that I sent to the group.
Yes,
indeed.
Yes.
And so it would be trying to fit in something there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even if it was a one-hour meeting, how many work teams are working in tandem right now? Does anyone have any sense? Glenn, perhaps you?
On that Sunday, we have got the...
No, I'm sorry, Glenn. My question is more, how many work teams in total are working right now simultaneously?
Oh, of the GNSO?
Yes.
There are about 13.
13 different work teams working on different elements of the GNSO?
Yes.
Well, I think that calls for a discussion face-to-face with the OSC, at least to give a 10-minute or 5-minute update as to what each one is doing.
Well, these are not all calls that have to do with the restructuring.
That was more my question.
There's 5 restructuring teams, and three of them have got sub-teams.
Right, and this is Julie. Ron, there are three OSC teams, and there are two PPSC teams.
Okay.
And I am the staff support for all three of the OSC teams.
Okay, so there you go. So my point was, within 1 hour, if there was possible to get a calendar, get 1 hour on the calendar where the OSC sat and got heard reports from the three OSC teams that it's responsible for, that would be very helpful for all of us, I think, to clarify, you know, where do we stand, where are the other groups, how does this all fit, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps, Chair, if you could make a request to Chuck to do that, because we already have one item on their agenda to discuss, and that's the kite. And the second item we're going to send them is a work issue, work-related thing in terms of work product, which we believe is an SOI, DOI, ready-to-go kind of thing. So they've got reason to sit. Now the question is, can we get some reports from the various committees to give us all a clear bearing on where we are?
Okay, yes, I will send that request to Chuck and CC the list. We think it would be helpful for the OSC to provide the work team members an update of all the progress that has been made.
Okay. Progress to date and open issues or key open issues. That at least gives us a sense of what else is hanging out there that is being addressed. And there may be no impact, but there may be some significant impact to how we're progressing.
Okay. All right, now back. So we haven't really made a final decision then whether we want to start our meeting at 1 o'clock local time or at 2 o'clock local time. I guess maybe I'm thinking we go ahead and have our one-hour meeting and then try and shoot for maybe the OSC to take the one-hour slot, 1 o'clock slot.
Well, let Glenn do that. I mean, I wouldn't want to surrender an extra hour of work time from our side.
Okay, then with that said, which I agree with Ron, why don't we shift our meeting to 1 o'clock? That way if we run over, there's no issue because no one needs the room.
That would be much, much better in my view.
Okay. So Glenn,
sorry, Wolf. Sorry, Wolf. I owe you a beer.
Okay.
Okay.
So Glenn, is that an accommodation we can go ahead and confirm?
Sorry, what was that? I was on.
It's okay. We want to move our meeting in Sydney from 2 o'clock to 1 o'clock local time.
That is the one that is already at. Isn't that the one that I've had correspondence with some of you on?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
And then, with the understanding, we may, if not likely, run over a one hour time period going into the 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock hour.
Okay. So you want to go up to 1300?
Yeah.
Up to 1500.
Okay.
Up to 15. 13 to 15.
13 to 15. Okay.
Yes.
I'll send out a new schedule.
Is it Sunday or Thursday, Saturday? Which day?
It's Sunday.
Okay.
And for you, that will be in the middle of the night, I suppose.
5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. Another comment here that I think I've mentioned this, but I will also not physically be in Sydney. And now I'm hearing Wolf will not physically be in Sydney. I think, you know, because I think the New Zealand meeting, if I recall, we had excellent voice conference call ability for that meeting. But I think just in case of that not working, I definitely am going to be attending the meeting remotely to the best of my ability. Now, but with that said, I think it would be prudent to have somebody who is going to physically be there chair this meeting as an interim chair. And I throw that out to discussion, number one. And two, I would also like to suggest Ron for that.
Well, Ray, if I may, Yoav is our vice chair. Is he also not going
to
be in attendance?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. He has to be participating. So, right, that would default there. But so I'm not able to count on that for this call right now.
But maybe that's worth looking into.
Obviously, if I can attend the call, if I'm on the call, no problem chairing it. So.
Right. Well, it's tough for you to see whose hands in the room. That's the problem.
Yeah, true.
So that's where I was coming from. So, I mean, if Yoav could be there and kind of work coordinate with you, that would be my first preference.
Okay.
I'm concerned that, you know me, I might dominate the microphone a little too much.
Okay. Fair enough, fair enough. And maybe Tony. I don't know if Tony plans on being physically in Sydney or not. But
maybe, well, perhaps you could send a message around to the work team and find out who's going to be there, and particularly if you're there to actually chair the meeting. Chairing the meeting, as you well do and do a good job, is really listening, summarizing, and creating a list of speakers. So if he's not comfortable with doing that, I will throw my hat into the ring as a reluctant second.
Okay. So what I will do is I will send out to the, I'll ask the members of our email list who is, please confirm who is going to be physically in Sydney.
Mm.
Let's do that first, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. And exactly. And then also, of course, I will rely on you to continue to formulate the agenda in terms of the, you've been doing, keeping a very good track of how we're covering the various elements and what's out there. So we rely on you for that activity.
No problem.
And I'll get you the remote participation details out, and we ought to have good remote participation because the company that's doing it in the last couple of meetings has done an excellent job.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. The last item on our list is any other business. Anything else? If
the only thing that I have, Chair, is that regarding that the first item, which was the kite,
I'm not talking about
there
anymore.
Was clarity that we needed some clarity in the opening. We have a box there in red letters in capital says important notice for consideration of this document.
Right.
And my recommendation would be that we take the second paragraph and have that in bold and in red capitals. And that paragraph reads, at this stage of the discussion, this proposal should not be viewed as a firm recommendation from the work team, neither should it be assumed that there is consensus for this approach. But we do feel that it is appropriate to seek broader input on an approach that would fundamentally change the basic structure and working arrangement of the GNSO through the separation of its core functions, policy development, and administration of the SO. So make it very clear, we are just looking for input. And then we go for the next statement says, to be clear, we're asking two questions.
Mm-hmm.
And just hopefully this will be understood with bold and red because, you know, people don't read. But that is a fact, unfortunate one, but true. Bold and red might catch their eye.
Okay, so what I plan on doing, and now I'm going to ask you for something, is now, Robin has not been an active participant in this group, I understand. She has been active in ICANN, and I do feel she's credible. Now, I made one edit in there that had to do with one.
That's fine.
Wasn't.
That's fine.
So you're
that
fine with that
fine.
Edit. I changed the domain name, Tasty.
Absolutely.
I don't want to hear from that. I don't want that coming at me.
Not at all. That's fine.
All right. Now, with that said, I'll download the document again from the wiki site. I will make that one edit, and then I'll bold out the second paragraph in red like you're suggesting. And that
bold out and capitalize.
Bold out
I
and
mean,
capitalize.
Literally both.
Okay. And send that off to the OSC with the instructions you guys have given me. In fact, maybe what I'm going to do is I'm going to send what I'm thinking, what I plan on saying to the OSC off to the list first, and you guys can tell me if you like what I'm saying.
Agreed.
That's what we're asking for. Okay?
Agreed.
All right. I don't want to fall into that trap. All right. With that said, I will call for a meeting adjournment, unless there's any objection.
No.
And to stop the recording.
Okay.
Okay. We stop the recordings now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.